Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, July 13th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 51, that first paragraph. This world of ours has made, through one paragraph ending, to death for his astronomical heresies. And we'll be talking about that one paragraph only today. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Debbie P. The readers of the text, Penny L.C., Alex K., and Wendy M. The reference number for Sunday, July 12th, is 23,629. That's 23629. And for this morning, Monday, July 13th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,630. That's 23630. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Ann S.C.H., and Shelley E. will be doing the announcements. Thank you to everyone for providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. And we welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you. This is Mary P., and these are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. And I'll now ask Debbie P. to please read the 12 traditions of OA. Star 1, Debbie P.
I'm sorry, and I was talking. Debbie P. in South Florida, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Number 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trustees. they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those we serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, or other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 51, that first paragraph, "The world of ours has made," through one paragraph ending, "to death for his astronomical heresies." And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Penny L.C. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. This world of ours has made more material progress in the last century than in all the millenniums which went before. Almost everyone knows the reason. Students of ancient history tell us that the intellect of men in those days was equal to the best of today. Yet in ancient times, material progress was painfully slow. The spirit of modern scientific inquiry, research, and invention was almost unknown. In the realm of the material, men's minds were fettered with superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. Some of the contemporaries of Columbus thought a round earth preposterous. Others came near putting Galileo to death for his astronomical heresies. And that's a lot to absorb. But basically for me, this paragraph steps away from the program to relate to the world at large, addressing the overall viewpoint of mankind over the past centuries. It is stating essentially that man's development was held back by certain long-established beliefs. These old confining outlooks kept societies from allowing for exploration, for new concepts, and for fresh ways of discovering new ideas. Invention was stunted. There was no curiosity encouraged. Uncertainty, a fear of change, had many unable to trust in stirring up new ways of thinking and doing. Fear and uncertainty have held me back, too, from venturing into new ideas, new conceptions. I clung to what I knew, even when it was not serving me well. I originally was skeptical as a newcomer to the 12-step program of recovery. Was OA another attempt to lose weight and end up another attempted failure? I had my doubts, but there was still some hope, and with it, I began. Yet the concepts of powerlessness and belief in a higher power were daunting. I felt strongly that it had an obligation, I had an obligation to myself, to at least give it a fair shot. This book shared how others had changed. I saw in the meetings their changes. I had a choice, and my choice was to believe like they did, to do what was instructed, to follow their examples and believe. If they could, I could. And besides, there's the statement of truth. If I continue to do what I did, I'm going to continue to get what I got. Nothing changed equals nothing changed. I chose change, a new way of living by my higher powers, grace, and guidance. And then the world changed for me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC. Lovely way to get us started there. So, yes, we're talking about page 51, that first paragraph that starts with, "The world of ours has made," through one paragraph ending, "to death for his astronomical heresies." And we're commenting on this paragraph today, and I'd now like to take a list of names, although we do value your experience. We ask that you limit your shared every third day.
Marga.
In order that others might share their experiences, too. So who would like to share? Who is that first name?
Margo B., New York.
Margo B., New York.
Veronica B.
Veronica. Was
B,
it Veronica
like boy.
B? Okay.
Yes.
And who else?
Polly Q.
Sarah M.
Polly Q. And Sarah M.
Christina J.
Christina J.
Sarah N.
Sarah N.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Wow, that's a fantastic lineup.
Tony B.
And Tony B. Perfect. All right, let me list off who I have in case I missed anyone. I have Margo B., Veronica B., Polly Q., Sarah N., Christina J., Deborah G., Tony B. Did I miss anyone? All right, beautiful lineup. Let's start with Margo B., followed by Veronica. And Margo already let us know she's calling from New York. So go ahead, Margo, please share with us. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Hi, Margo. Both of Overeater, good to claim my seat. Thank you, everybody, for their service. So what comes out of me, comes to my heart, is to let go of all my preconceived notions, and I have to let go, absolutely. And then I realized I didn't even know I had preconceived notions. It wasn't until I got into the rooms when I learned that, oh, you mean I don't have to avoid pain at all costs? Or, oh, a little of this and a little of that to numb me out? That's not okay. That I can go and live life on life's terms with God, with a true intimate relationship with the God of my understanding. I had all these preconceived notions of how I should be, how you should be, how the world should be, yada, yada, yada. And all it did was all coming from fear. That's what I learned, self-centered fear. And I had to let go of all of that. Absolutely. And it did not come quickly. It came through the educational variety very slowly. And in lieu of me letting go of these preconceived notions, being open to truth, I can only do that through the work of the steps, working the tools of the program, and being reminded, because those preconceived notions is my default system. That's what I use to stay safe, feel safe. And it's just not true. And I get to make different choices today. Never even knew I had a choice. Who knew? So I feel like this is, you know, when I read it, it kind of went in here and went out the other, but when I heard it and then doing it on the meeting, it was like, wow, like I didn't even know I had preconceived notions. I come, I do the work, I get to let it go and replace it with truth. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Margot B. from New York. Veronica B., it's your turn, followed by Polly Q., and please let us know where you're calling from, if you would. Good morning, Veronica.
Hi, good morning. My name is Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Thank you for your service. This line here, men's minds were fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. And right next to that, I have ignorant of spirit. That was me coming into Overeaters Anonymous in 2009. I had come in with all these fixed ideas. I was an overweight child my whole life. I always used food to soothe myself. And I had an aunt, a very religious aunt that would live with us. She lived with us for many years. And I was afraid of her. She was so mean, and she would always say things like, God's going to punish you if you don't obey your mom and dad. God's going to punish you if you don't do well in school. God's going to punish you. God's going to punish you. God's going to punish you. And that was ingrained in my mind for my whole adulthood until I came into Overeaters Anonymous, you know, and I chose to believe that by just pure ignorance, from pure not having, you know, having a very closed mind. And when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I was taught a new way of thinking by working these steps. I was taught that I can have a God of my own understanding, a very God of my very own, however I wanted to believe in a God, and that that was going to be my starting point on to have this new found, you know, love, joy, in my life today. The one thing that I depend on today and rely on is this power that, like I said, is for me is all love. It's just all love. It's just simple for me to keep things simple, and that's how I keep it today. You know, just this willingness a day at a time to turn things over to my higher power, to rely on my higher power, all day, every day, to, you know, ask God, God, help me stay in the surrendered state. Because when I'm in a surrendered state, I can accept the guidance. I accept the guidance of my higher power. And because today I choose to live this way today, to depending on my higher power and having an open mind and to be honest in the day. So I'm so grateful for this way of life. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. Polly Q., it's your turn to share, followed by Sarah N. And please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, moderator. This is Polly Q. I'm calling from Northern California. And so I really like this paragraph, or rather I really relate to it, because I did not grow up in a home that talked anything at all about God. I asked my mom about God one time, what she believed, and she said it couldn't hurt. And that was all that was said. And so I had no experience with it. I had experience with addiction, though, because there was alcoholism ran the house. And so when I was 30 years old, after going out and finding alcoholism to hook up with in a man and being an Al-Anon, then I began a spiritual journey. And I began to find out how to, this thing called God. And so it's 36 years from now, from that. And this idea today is now my primary go-to. This spiritually based realm and power is now what I go to get over anything, everything. And I'm 66 years old now, and so I've got ailments and all that stuff, but the reason that I do it is because it works. Having this spiritual path works. The 12 steps, which are all spiritually based, works. And I sponsor enough people to know that in two different programs that when it doesn't work, it's because there is no spiritual growth. There isn't, I did the steps, so now I'm done. No, not with food. That won't work, not my experience. So for me, this spiritual power is for real. It has transformed my life and continues to do so today. It is the only power that I have ever seen when I seek it out, because it's completely voluntary. When I seek out that spiritual solution, what happens to me is beyond my comprehension. But hey, man, it is the only thing that works to keep me from compulsively overeating. But it does so much more than that. It has transformed my thinking. It allows me to get over fears. And man, you are talking to Miss Fear herself. It allows me to explore the world around me. And it allows me to love people more. To love this world more. So, hey, you find something better, good luck. But this is it for me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Polly Q from California. Sarah N., it's your turn to share, followed by Christina J., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Sarah N. from Sacramento, California. And I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I have never said that I don't think I've said that on the meeting yet. And it still makes me nervous, and I'm relating to the paragraph around that nervousness. The paragraph says the world of ours made more material progress in the last century than all the millenniums that went before. And I have made more progress in the 6 months that I've been attending vision meetings and 4 months that I've been working the steps big book style with a sponsor than I have in the 20 years that I've been in OA otherwise. And almost everyone knows the reason. The people in the visions meetings who are working the steps with a sponsor know the reason that this works if you work it. I thought I was working it. Students of ancient history tell us that the intellect of men in those days was equal to the best of today. All the other people that I've worked with in OA are equal to the best of anyone who's in the visions rooms. It's not magic. It's the big book, and it's doing the things. Yet in my ancient times, material progress was painfully slow. My top weight was 250 pounds. I stayed at 50 pounds below that for a long time in OA. I never left OA, and I never stopped. Our version of working the steps, but the next 20 pounds took a really long time to come off, and also the spiritual progress was there, but it was very painfully slow. The spirit of modern scientific inquiry, research, and invention was almost completely unknown. In the realm of the material, men's mind were fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. Well, I have a superstition that it's very dangerous for me to say I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm nervous about that because in my mind, if I say I'm recovered, then that means that I've instructed my disease that I don't need this program, and then I'll be, you know, in a three-way with Ben and Jerry before I know it. And the thing is that everything that I've been asked to do since I started working with a sponsor in the Visions meetings has brought me incredible joy and freedom and release from a type of control I didn't even know I was exerting. I thought I was surrendered. I even recently wrote a whole book about how to listen to inner wisdom. And yet I'm learning more in this time than I ever have. And I've also lost 25 pounds without even trying. So, which means I'm 100 pounds below my top weight. So I'll keep coming back, and apparently I'm recovered.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much, Sarah N. from California. All right, we have Christina J. coming up next, followed by Deborah G. Christina J., please share with us.
Hi, everyone. Christina J. from Washington State. So glad to be back on the live line. It's been several months, and I've had a fellow patching me in, which I thank him so much for. But now I'm back on. Anyway, you know, hopelessness. I had a disconnect between hopelessness and powerlessness. And what was that disconnect? What was that plug-in in between the two? Was my control. And my control blocked God. I had a God. I was never skeptical. I kept coming. But I couldn't make progress because I couldn't hear, I couldn't feel the deeper part of hopelessness, which is powerlessness. I didn't realize I needed to surrender. And I couldn't even know what that surrender looked like. I had no idea because I had so much control, still do in certain ways, from my skin to the core of my bones. I controlled everything in my life. I had to start controlling when I was a kid. I had to take charge because my mom had to go to work and there was lots of things to take care of. Even as a little girl, I had to start responsibilities. But that control blocks God. That control blocks the freedom to surrender to that deep inner source. That if you don't have that yet, you just keep coming. Even if you have God and you think you have it, just wait. Just wait as you surrender more and more. And I'm telling you that you don't have to feel bad because your higher power is in charge. Even if you don't think you have one, as it says in the big book, inside, deep inside, every man and woman is the idea of God or something. I believe there's a little flame inside all of us. God's in charge, higher power's in charge, whatever, love's in charge, and it knows how long I needed to flounder in order to surrender, to fully surrender, to realize that this hopelessness is exactly what powerlessness is. If I'm on the ground hopeless, dying, crying because I got into the food again, in that moment I realize I'm completely hopeless, but then I get up and I try to figure it out again. What I started doing is just getting up and clearing my mind and saying, I'm a dummy. I don't know anything. Show me what to do, sponsor, you know. And as I did the program, I mean, many of you know I've had many, many relapses because of that control. And I just kept trudging ahead. My progress has been painfully slow. And it's okay. The pain kept pushing me to opening up that precious chamber in my heart where I commune with God daily. And the shares have been incredible. And I'm not perfect. Gosh, I was completely off the fence last night. My brain was riddled with all kinds of crap from something that happened. But all I can do is just keep asking God, help unblock this thing, you know? And he did, and I'm here today, and I'm so grateful. But I just want to encourage everyone out there, if you're in relapse and you can't figure it out, you know, as everyone says, the magic is in just keep taking the steps. You go deeper and deeper. No matter how long you've been in program, the wisdom keeps coming, and the fellows will hold your hand. Love you all. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. from Washington. Deborah G., it's your turn to share, followed by Tony B. And just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 51 today. That first paragraph starts with, the world of ours has made, through one paragraph ending, to death is astronomical heresies. And we're commenting on that paragraph today. So after Deborah G. and Tony B. share, I'm going to be taking a list of more names. So Deborah G., please share with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Dawn, and for your service and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And everyone share, thank you so much for 12-stepping me today. It's just been so lovely to hear your words. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're with us today. And that reading, I was thinking too about the old ideas I had for years and years and years that I picked up anywhere I went, you know, all that I thought was the truth here and there. And then having that idea thinking, I was so disturbed at times that I was continually going to the food for some comfort from this disturbance, this idea in my head that wasn't the truth. And it wasn't until I went through those beautiful 12 steps over and over and over, and going to the meetings, you know, hearing all of you over and over and over, because I believe that power works through all of you like it is today, listening to you all, your words. And it wasn't until that, and that's when I finally started to see, become more aware, awake, of what the truth was, of what reality was, and what I was going up against, and that was causing me all of this. Excuse me, and I'm so grateful today that, that when it still happens, I still have old ideas that come up, that I have something that I can do about that rather than continually going to the food, doing it to myself, the suffering that I experienced. I don't ever have to suffer again. You know, because I have this beautiful way of living, this beautiful life. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Tony B., it's your turn to share, and then I'll be taking some more names. Good morning, Tony.
Thank you, Dawn. My name is Tony B. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Scotland. And thank you very much, everyone doing service and everyone shares. It's been a wonderful meeting. It makes me think this, basically don't have a is consistent more than anything else. Keep open. So the people in ancient times were closed against the way that that we do our modern scientific experimentation, you know, have put a theory out there and all of that kind of thing, but it feels like as we've made more progress materially, the chasm's got bigger between like that and the spiritual world. So people have perhaps become more closed about the spiritual world. So it's like strikes me that balance is really important. And, you know, it's not the case that if I'm scientific, I can't be spiritual. It's not one or the other. It also made me think, you know, about my childhood. When we went to church as children, it was a social thing. It was an image thing. It was a cultural thing. And there was no sense that God could be depended on or utilized or was needed, really. I kind of believed that there was something there, but I certainly didn't think I had to work at the relationship, that God should just be able to help me, you know. So that came to mind. And also came to mind was the fixed ideas, which people have shared a lot about. And, you know, one of them was that I didn't need to build a relationship with God. And then there are all sorts of ones that I keep seeing, you know, things like, if you criticize me, you must be against me, or hate me, or not like me, or another fixed idea, I'm nothing without validation. I need you to validate me. No, I need God's validation. Or I must be able to sort this out on my own. So, but more than anything, this paragraph's saying to me, be open, try. You know, the fixed ideas might not be true. Try something different. And if you're new here, that's enough. Just to say, I'm willing to try something new. What I've been doing hasn't worked. But it isn't just a matter of saying, you know, help me, God. He needs me to do His work. He needs me to be His right hand woman. Just to say, keep going with the steps until you get to the opportunity to do that. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tony B. from Scotland. All right. Well, I'm going to take a list of names now of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Larry G.
Marcel.
I heard Larry G. And I heard Marcel.
Bruce E.
Amelia O.
I heard Bruce E. And was there another woman's voice there?
Amelia O.
Amelia O. Okay, I've got Larry G., Marcel, Amelia O., and Bruce E. Let's go ahead with that lineup. Larry G., go ahead, share with us, followed by Marcel.
Good morning, everybody. This is Larry G. I'm a grateful member of this society we have, this vision for you. And I love you guys. I took you with me through the most extraordinarily stressful 8 days in Florida. Came back yesterday. My wife's still there with her mother. I took you guys with me. And it's because of this vision for you, this model that we model ourselves after the first 100 pioneers. We really do the work here. We ask a lot from each other, which a 12-step program should. A 12-step program should ask a lot, like AA asks a lot. You don't drink no matter what. And I've learned about black and white absence in this program. And in these last 8 days, I did not get drunk with food. I was present with my dying mother-in-law and gave back to my wife. And I watched my wife, who's a visionist program, by the way, act out in action, the third step. It was inspirational. So I have a lot of prejudices when it comes to 12-step. I had a lot of prejudices when I came into a vision for you, and they're slowly dissolving. The ego behind them was nothing but extremely funny. You know, how funny my ego is, how little I know. I'm finding this out as I get more and more time in a 12-step program, because the programs I'm in now, the fellowships I'm in now, I've seeked out fellowships like a vision for you. I don't mess around anymore. I don't mess around with the Get Current group or the Let's Take This Lightly group, and let's come up with cute little names like, you had your red light food, a little alcohol food, no problem, slip. But you just start over again, you know. This is serious business. And the only way I could stay sober in these last 8 days was because of the seriousness of our fellowship. And I want to tell you, I feel like a vision for you, the Big Book study meetings on the East Coast, Cherry Hill, Cornwall, the Scottsdale groups, I believe that all these groups are on the vanguard of OA. The old model doesn't work. This is the new model. This is the new renaissance of OA, and it's not for everybody, because what's asked of me, I can have never done prior to 6 years. Probably I could have not done it 1 minute before I got to Vision for You on May 18, 2020. And with that, I pass back to you, Don, and thank you for your service. You are just a wonderful human being and an example of how 12-step works in our lives. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Larry G. from California. So grateful for you on this meeting. Now we'll have Marcel F. From Canada, followed by Amelia O. Please share with us, Marcel.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. I'm just so delighted to be here. I am Marcel F. from Manitoba, Canada. I am redeemed today by God's grace, love, and mercy. And old ideas, oh my goodness, and fixed ideas. It has to be that way. It can't be that way. And, you know, old ideas mostly took the form of, I've got this. I can do it. If I'm just like a little bit stronger, if I try a little bit harder, but it always ended up in demoralization until I came to realize that I was powerless over my alcoholic foods and I needed a power greater than myself. And for me, that power is God. And, you know, coming to trust and rely. And I look at, you know, what's underneath the clinging to old ideas. And it's fear. Because what if? What if I change and it doesn't work? Just like, you know, in olden days when the world was flat, like what if we go to the edge and we fall off? And I was told early in recovery, I said I was like a woman, you know, that had fallen overboard out of the boat and clinging on to the edge of the boat so very hard, clinging on to it for my life. And my sponsor at the time said, well, what would happen if you just let go and float? And that has stayed with me. That image has stayed with me for, you know, more than 30 years. It's been, you know, a straight floating for those 30 years. And sometimes I was dog paddling, taking the control back. Excuse me. But, you know, I know that this is the place to be with Vision, with all of you. And I'm so very, very, very grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Marcel F. from Canada. Amelia O., it's your turn to share, followed by Bruce E., and please let us know where you're calling from. Good morning, Amelia.
Hey there. I'm Amelia O., compulsive overeater. I'm calling from Pennsylvania. I was thinking about when I first came into OA, I was in my last year of college, and I had to get to a point for me. The most important thing, bar none, was my academics, my grades. And I had to get to a point where I was willing to put that at risk, because my fear was that if I put down the sugar that I was using to push myself to work and work and work and work and work, I might not be able to function and I could put my grades at risk. And I finally had to say, you know what, I'm willing to make the sacrifice because I'm so desperate and I need this. And the reason I bring that up is I was thinking about Galileo, and Galileo was almost put to death because he put at risk this idea of a universe that they thought at the time was earth-centric, and the Catholic Church, which had an immense amount of power, felt that it threatened their understanding of theology as based on a universe that was earth-centric rather than centered around the sun, which is what Galileo had proposed. And for me, it made me think, you know, what is the fear that I'm holding on to that is stopping me from accepting whatever block it is to accepting this program and the ideas that are put forward, because usually it's fear. And when I find that fear, I find what's the most important thing for me. And when I find what's the most important thing for me, I find what I'm really worshiping in life. And for me, those are the biggest blocks. And, you know, I still struggle with it because I'm human, but I have a higher power, and I just keep going back to that higher power and asking for help. And that's all I can do one day at a time. So thanks.
Thank you so much, Amelia O. from Pennsylvania. Bruce E., it's your turn to share.
Oh, thanks, Dawn. Yeah. Well, it's always a great day when I can be at a meeting and don't have to talk to my ex-wife. So, I'm Percy. I'm in Southwest Florida, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Man, this paragraph is just terrific, and I'm just really grateful to get to share on it and talk some. This is one that I think could be talked about for a couple hours, but anyway, ours has made more material progress in the last century than in all the millenniums that went before. Yeah, well, he's in 1930 or so now, and he's thinking about the last, you know, number of years and all the progress they were making. And, man, when I think about today, since internet came out like 30 years ago or whatever, computers 30 or 40 years ago, whatever it was, and the progress that's being made. I remember a company I retired from didn't have computers. I didn't have a computer when I first worked for the company, and then they gave me a computer and put the whole thing on steroids. You know, I was able to really make a lot of progress with that company just having a computer. But now we're looking at these guys that the intellect of the men in those days is equal to the best of today. Yeah, they weren't dummies back then. They were just as intelligent as we were 100 years ago or 500 years ago. Same intelligence then as back then, that back then is today. But why didn't they make the progress? And it says right here, because their men's minds were fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. In other words, they had these ideas fixed in their minds, and they thought that that's all they could do, that was okay, you know. And now we're thinking in terms with this AI and everything, we're thinking in terms of we can go, I mean, you know, that AI put the internet on steroids. Now we can really move fast here. But I was in old OA for 25 years, and I had fixed ideas, superstitions, and I was trying to do it myself and all this human effort, tradition and all that, and fixed ideas, and I couldn't ever get
time
there. I couldn't get abstinent. But then I needed to get in this one, which has got OA on steroids, and to get any progress. So thank you. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Well, we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book. If you happen to be new, please stick around to the very end of the meeting when we're going to allow newcomers to announce their names and numbers. So please stay for that. We now have a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Alex K. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks, Dawn. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.